Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait a minute, what were we remembering? What happened?
Well,
I don't mean to laugh.
Yeah, no, it's not funny.
What was your favorite moment of the Juan Soto era of the Phillies?
Oh.
Yeah, we're saying goodbye to you.
So it's a done deal?
Well, we're close. So
he's making a decision. How much did we offer him?
You want to know?
Yes.
Nothing. So according to Matt Gelb of The Athletic, the Philadelphia Phillies never made an offer to Juan Soto. Reporting is starting to come down. I saw one on SNY last night. Andy Martino is a good MLB insider.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that we're coming down to the final stages here of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. He started to eliminate some teams.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Matt Gelb, who covers the team for The Athletic here, let me make sure I have the exact wording. Phillies never met with Juan Soto and are not among the teams who have made an offer to the star outfielder. So the bidding has reached $600 million. The teams are putting their finals offers in. He's thinking about it. This could happen within a week. And we didn't get a meeting. We didn't give an offer. And I offered my name, and I was going to be Juan Soto for no reason.
You know,
Juan Julia.
I think it's kind of interesting that it's being reported. $600 million, that sounds kind of low.
Well, maybe the last bump gets it to seven.
I just felt like...
Final offer?
His agent now?
No. What I'm saying, Kyle, is initially when these negotiations started, we knew it was going to start somewhere around there. I just thought it was going to be more for the highly touted player. I just thought it was going to be more for him. I thought it was going to be somewhere in the 7-8 range, to be totally honest. And that's where I thought that there might have been a little trepidation on the part of the Phillies, because that's a lot of bread. And your roster, you talk about the high-paid individuals that you already have on the squad. That's damn near. You got $1 billion payroll at that point when you talk about all the cash you got if you sign him. I just thought it was kind of low.
I am never really expected the Phillies to get him. I wanted them to. I never really felt this was going to happen. I am disappointed that they didn't get a meeting, that they didn't make an offer, that they didn't try. Like, this is one of the great young free agents ever, and they just sat this one out. I look, if they win the World Series next year, no one's going to care, right? Like, let Juan Soto be a Met or a Red Sox or wherever he's going to end up, and who's really going to care? But they didn't try. If they don't win in the next 5 or 7 years, I'm going to bring this up. Like, they had an opportunity to try for this player, and they didn't even throw their hat. I mean, the Blue Jays are in this. Canada is trying to get this guy, right? And we couldn't try to get him in Philadelphia, so disappointing, not surprising. And we should find out within a week, according to a lot of reports, where Juan Soto is going to play. I do think this is going to unfreeze everything else. The Phillies will probably start making some moves here. As soon as Soto signs somewhere, other players will start to sign. Maybe that leads Bregman or Adames here, and it leads to a Bohm trade, and away we go with the Phillies offseason. I think everyone's kind of on hold for this. It was kind of like this with Ohtani last year a little bit. Everyone was waiting for him, and then the other dominoes fell. So it sounds like Soto's going to make sign a contract somewhere soon, and it does pretty concretely say the Phillies are not involved in this. 215-592-9494. Oh, we got Sirianni coming up in about 8 minutes. We'll carry his press conference live later in the show today, a What If Wednesday. Elliot Shore Parks will join us, and we're going to find out what's in Hughes Holiday Stocking. Your chance to win an incredible prize and be entered for our grand prize, the Ultimate Midday Show Tailgate Giveaway. Let's go back to the phone lines here as we discuss Jalen Hurts. We got some poll questions up here, which are getting everyone all excited here. Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. So the first one, and we started with this conversation today because I just think it's funny how we're not on the same page, even though we're seeing the same thing. Jalen Hurts is driving the car or along for the ride. 67% of voters believe he's driving the car this season.
Yeah, he is, because they understand what I'm saying. They're listening to the show, and they understand exactly where I'm coming from.
I think they're seeing it wrong, but that's okay. I mean, everyone is, it's like you know, you see things differently, right? Same painting, same picture. You see it one way, I see it different way.
They pick up what I'm putting down. Mm.
Is that it? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it is. I'm trying to help you and Kyle out, but you know, Kyle's being stubborn, as per usual.
Well, a lot of times I think Kyle's being stubborn and wrong. Today he's stubborn and correct.
He's wrong.
Well, I mean, he might be wrong about the Darnold thing.
The Sam Darnold thing.
No, I think that's the most delusional thing to come up today.
Who was the first team you eliminated? That right there was.
It was kind of funny.
But that's
it's not really germane to
it
the
doesn't
debate,
make any sense.
But
it is germane.
Right, so
it's so germane.
Would the Eagles be 10-2 if Sam Darnold was their quarterback instead of Hurts? 83% are currently voting no. I would vote no too, but I don't think the sentiment's insane, right? We're talking about another quarterback that's played good this year, not overwhelmingly great. Would the Eagles be the same record with that guy here? I mean, we did an exercise earlier. We came up with quite a few. Hugh poo-pooed the exercise as we did it, even with Jared Goff, who's obviously played better.
I don't think Jared Goff's that great.
No, when Jalen Hurts isn't that great.
Right? Jalen Hurts is better than Jared Goff, in my mind.
I disagree.
I'm <We're> going backwards.
It's the heavy breathing for me, and it's the dropping of the paper.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines.
As here. Many times I had to sit through some of these ridiculous takes that you guys have, you're going to give me this one.
You told us for 2 years defense didn't matter.
And it did, and for a year and a half, it was germane. It says we using that word.
Who is the former tight end for the Patriots?
It was Jermaine.
Jermaine Wiggins? I don't think of Jermaine Wiggins now. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Zillio, what's the dealio?
What's up,
Chuck?
Man?
Listen, right? I had to say this. I call in real quick. I had to say this real quick, right? I disagree with each and every one of you.
Okay.
And that's the first. Because, you know, first of all, you know, Joe, you and Cal are discrediting what this dude does. Jalen Hurts. And Jalen sometimes gets on my nerves to no end because he starts too slow. But this guy, and since he's been here, we've always led the league in rushing. Now, Saquon Barkley's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But he's never had a year like he's had this year. You know what I mean? And no way, shape, or form. You know what I'm saying? A.J. Brown has had his best years here in the Philadelphia Eagles uniform. You know what I mean? You know, Devontae Smith, one of 1,000 yards as a rookie. This guy, Jalen Hurts, don't get enough credit for the things he do. Now, his numbers are not his numbers don't stick out to you. You know what I'm saying? But the things that he do on that field, you know, with the running game, it don't exist if you got a Sam Darnold who's trash. Sam Darnold stinks, and everybody know it. And they're going to be eliminated in the first round. But that's another story. And Jared Goff, he stinks. 5 interceptions in 1 game. Ass juice, okay? Our quarterback's going to be in the Super Bowl this year while those two quarterbacks are going to be watching from home. And I'm going to tell you the reason why, right? Jared Goff, he's going to be eliminated in the second round. He's not going to make it to the NFC Championship game. Those guys are leaking oil already, okay? And I tell you, he had 5 interceptions in 1 game. If Jalen Hurts had ever done that, you know, it'd be World War III, okay? You know, and like I said, Jalen gets to my nerves sometimes. And to me, he's not the driving force of this team, but what he does is important. You know what I mean? You know, like I said, the defense don't know whether he's going to keep that ball on the backside or Saquon's going to run it. Now, you got a difference between Saquon and Miles Sanders. Miles would take that about 20 yards. Saquon would take it 70 yards because he's such a great player. But you can't discredit that ever since Jalen's been here, we have led the league or been close to the top in the league in rushing. And that's for a reason.
That is a good point, and I agree with that. I mean, and I do think it's probably made everyone look better. His ability to run and defenses kind of have to pay attention to that. It freezes them for an extra. I agree with you, Chuck. It makes everyone look better.
So, let me ask you this, though, Joe, right? And Cal, you know, if the Eagles play Jared Goff right now, destroy him. Our defense against Jared Goff, we would be killing.
What does that have to do with Jalen?
Or rather, listen,
he talking about the dynamics that he brings to the table that's different than Sam Darnold's.
Well, hold on. Goff and Darnold, who you said are trash, both are having better years than Jalen. What does that make Jalen? It means a lot. Both also have the same or more wins than Jalen. So if you want to use QB wins, then you can go ahead and do that too.
Jalen Hurts has went up against this team in practice. You know what I mean? And I tell you one thing. Wait till we play. I can't wait to play Detroit. Because we might not even play him. Because like I said, I think somebody's going to go up there and beat him because Jared Goff's a fraud. Okay, that's why McVay traded his ass to Detroit. You're going to see the real Jared Goff in playoff time. Okay? You know what I mean? He's going to – he better pray to God that he get the number one seed and he get to play in that little comfy dome of his. Because if he got to come outside, that's another story. But I don't care if you got to play him at home or on the road. You know what I'm saying? We will destroy Jared Goff. Mark my word. I'm talking about destroying. Interceptions. Sacking his ass, everything. Jared Goff's a fraud. And you heard me say it first. You play them, they're going to be destroyed.
Jared 109 passer rating.
Spot his defense. These cornerbacks, Jalen Carter, he's looking at chops, man. He has no mobility. He has little small hands. We can't even rip the ball to snow. You know what I'm saying? He's equivalent to Kenny Pickett. Jared Goff stinks. And you heard it. When we play him in the playoffs, we're going to destroy him. And I don't even think we're going to play him in the playoffs. One of those teams going to go up there in Detroit and beat them.
Well, Chuck, I hope you're right on that. If you're right on that, then it's an easier path for the Eagles. I have a little theory.
Still hypocritical,
little theory on the Lions stuff this week.
What you got?
Everyone watched Thanksgiving. Not everyone's watched all their games. 38 million people watched the Bears. Probably should have won the game. They blew it. The Lions have scored 50-plus points in two games this year. Can we get there once? Like, I think the Eagles' defense right now is better, too. The Lions allow less points per game. Like, I think the Eagles could beat the Lions. I no longer think they're in a separate class. I've changed my mind on that. I think they're in the same class. But we've now created this scenario where, like, they're bad. They're not bad.
Well, it's. I think that when you look at their wins against some of the teams they played against, I mean,
we've played the Giants
and
Cowboys.
No, but let me say this, and some of the teams that we're talking about played the Giants and the Cowboys, too. But let me say this. This is a truism. The NFC this year is down. Some of the teams that we felt that were going to be good weren't as good as we thought they were.
I disagree with you. I think the NFC is better than the AFC.
You think so?
A lot.
Well, I, to be fair, I haven't been watching too much AFC games. But when I look at this, when I look at the schedule and the teams that they've played, you know, the Chicago Bears, the Rams, they got a win against the Rams. They lost to the Bucks.
The sixth seed has 9 wins right now.
NFC. The NFC North right now is the best division in 30 years. They're at the top of that.
No, but I'm talking about the people that they've played. They played the Seahawks.
But their division, right?
They have the black and blue division. I get it.
But they have by Thursday night they could have 3 10 win teams. It's the best division in the sport. They're leading it. They're good.
Okay, I give you that. But still, the point remains is that they've played a lot of opponents that when you look at them as a whole in the NFC, they're not great teams.
But haven't we?
So have we. Our best wins are Washington and Baltimore.
So okay, with that being said, what makes you think that we can't go toe-to-toe with the Lions?
I think they can. But no,
then when you talk about the games that they played, like, dude, it's to me, it looks like this. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts, they're a good football team. Jared Goff is playing well with the creativity that they've given him on the offensive side of the ball. That's what I'm saying. That's what they're doing well.
I just think we're poo-pooing a team that has a better resume than the Eagles.
Definitely not poo-pooing.
No, not you. I've heard it this week. Like, we've now created a thing where they're not that good. They are. If we think we're just rolling to the Super Bowl because Jared Goff got traded once, we need home field to get there, and then maybe they will. I think the Eagles are now on the same level as the Lions. I didn't believe that 4 weeks ago. Now I think they're even. They're the two top teams, and I think we see it in late January. But I don't know. They're good.
You know what? You know why I would say, if you were asking me, say, hey, who do you think's the better team and why? I would say right now, with the sampling size that I've seen, even in the opponents that they played, I would say the Eagles are better because the one thing that the Detroit Lions have, their defenses were comparable before Hayden Hutchinson got hurt. They were comparable. But as you see, as we go through this season, the Detroit Lions defense, they're starting to leak a little bit of oil. They have injuries that are starting to pile up. This defense looks like it's playing a lot better.
I agree with you. I think the Eagles defense is better right now. Yet, the last 7 weeks, this is after the injury to Hutchinson, 14, 14, 23, 6, 6, 20. They're not allowing points.
Well, also, that makes Goff look better, that he's winning with a lesser defense. Right? I mean, he has a better record than Jalen with a lesser defense. I mean, like, all of this is building the point that Goff is contributing more to his team's success than Jalen Hurts is.
I think that when you look at the matchups that they've played against, it's been favorable for them because they're built similar to us.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I feel like if we're playing against the Detroit Lions, our dynamic, we got a lot of speed across the board, man. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people aren't accounting for when they look at this team. I'm talking about team speed from the linebacker spot, from the defensive end spot, and the fact that our D tackle, Jalen Carter, is playing at a level. Like, he's pushing the pocket.
He's been great.
He's doing phenomenal things pushing the pocket.
If I just break down the two teams right now, Hugh, I'm with you. The Eagles' defense is now better than the Lions. They're starting to feel the Hutchinson injury more. But their passing game is better than ours. Both have great running games. They do it with two guys. We do it with one guy.
They will throw the ball. I'll give you that.
They have a better passing game.
Secondary is better.
Right.
The Detroit secondary.
Sure. But, like, it's going to come down to that. We have the better defense. They throw the ball better. I mean, we could slice this cake any way we want. They throw it better. All right, I found someone, Macho Craig, who actually thinks I'm right today. What's up, Macho Craig?
Oh, how'd you guys know it was Macho Craig? I don't even wear that name
because
anymore.
Because you
know
got
what?
It on the,
I felt
on the caller
it.
ID.
In the year 2024, we have this magical technology called caller ID.
Craig.
With me, young whippersnapper.
Yeah,
go ahead, Macho.
Shut up. Derek got under skin today. He's a little surly.
What has happened to my hometown? Mm. Y'all are so soft. Let me tell you, Joe, I am so on board with you. First of all, let me say, I am Philly born and Philly bred, and when I die, I'll be Philly dead. I love the Eagles, but if anybody thinks Jalen Hurts is the reason we're winning this year, you're out of your... You know what? He is not driving this car. He's in the back going, how did I get in this limousine? I hope nobody notices me because they'll kick me out. What happens when you bang away on a defense with the running game over and over and over? Everybody who's ever watched football in their life goes, at some point, they start playing the run, and then your quarterback starts picking the defense apart. The day he picks a defense apart with his arm will be the day I give birth. And that ain't never going to happen. The
but
reason
you're
not
baby.
Dependent on Jalen Hurts' arm, because you can't depend on Jalen Hurts' arm. He's not a great... You know, here's the great thing that we've solved here. The question for 40 years has been, would Tom Osborne's wishbone offense work in the NFL? We're seeing it. That's what he's great at. Listen, I love the guy. I hope he wins the Super Bowl for the next 5 years in a row. But this is not... He's never going to scare somebody if you make him throw.
I would beg to differ, Macho Craig. I would beg to differ. Jalen scares you with his ability to run the football. And that's coming from a guy that actually played the game. No disrespect to you. But he brings something to the table. Macho, I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I played against. He brings an intangible to the table. I understand what you're saying about Saquon Barkley being the catalyst and everything. But Jalen Hurts brings another level to this that I don't think y'all really understand. You really don't understand
it. The thing about intangibles, though, is, Hugh, nobody has to tell you what it is. You can hide behind that.
And I just, but Macho, I just told you what it was. I just sat there and told you what the intangible was. I told you that he brings an ability to the table that you have to defend his ability to run the ball. He's not about to sit back there like a statue. He's not about to do that. Let me give you an example of intangibles that I can quantify for you. Dan Marino was not a running quarterback, but he would carve you up from the pocket because he had the ability to throw receivers open. What I mean when I say throw receivers open, he would throw it to the spot and the receiver would run and do that. Peyton Manning was the same way. Jalen Hurts hurts you when he pulls the ball down and run it because you think it's going to be an RPO. That's why the RPO has been so effective. That's why the passing game has been so effective. That's the intangible that he brings to the table.
That's one-dimensional. So he's a good
one-dimensional.
Running back.
What do you mean that's one-dimensional? I just gave
he's
you two dimensions.
Back.
He runs.
Well, he's,
all right,
he's
then.
Not
okay,
a running
Macho.
Back.
Okay, Macho. Okay, Macho. Macho Craig. You got it.
23% of the time through the air. That's not quarterback. That's college. That's the wishbone offense.
Well, I would call it this. It's the RPO. It's the ride and decide. He might be the best ever to do this in the NFL. I mean, Cam did this for a little while with the RPO. Jalen might do this better than anyone. That's the offense they run. It works. They should keep doing it. I don't want them to change anything. The way I view this is he's a passenger on this thing. He's not the driving force of this football team. Now, I didn't always feel this way. It's not a him thing. It's a team thing. 2 years ago, I thought he was the driving force of the team. I thought he should be in the MVP discussion. Mm-hmm. I thought he should have won the MVP. I thought he was a driving force of everything 2 years ago. I don't feel that way. I feel like since the bye, they ask less and less. Again, we played earlier. Shiel Kapadia said no starting quarterback is being asked to do less right now than Jalen Hurts. That's the league right now. In a league, and you said it, Hugh, where a lot of quarterbacks are being asked to throw a little bit less in the past, he's being asked to throw the least of the less.
And when you look at the numbers from the quarterbacks that are asked to do that, he's amongst the tops as far as playoff contending teams.
Sure, he's efficient.
Which I have no problem with that. I think what happens is, again, we've been talking about this, and it has a negative connotation. Because to a certain extent, Joe, I understand what you're saying and I agree with you. But when you said
let's go to Nick Sirianni. We'll continue the conversation soon.
Gotcha.
Fire away. So if you guys, you're, what, 10-2 for third straight year, been really successful. When you have a team coming in that doesn't have a great record, do you feel the need to put an extra emphasis on locking in, or is that something you don't really get into because you have a veteran-led team? Kind of, what's just your philosophy on that?
I think our philosophy, no matter who we're playing, what their record is, you know, I think somebody asked me last week, and I don't remember who it was, but is there a little bit more, you know, that we're playing the Ravens? Like, I think that would be malpractice by us as coaches and as players if we were up for some games and not up for some games. Or like, we know that this is a talented team that is continuing to play good football. You can just look at their last four games. They've played really good football. If you take anybody lightly in this league, it will humble you fast. And so this is a good team that has our attention, and our job each and every week is to be focused on the job at hand and lock in every single week. And that you don't have to go there when that's just your mission. That's just our standard. That's our culture. And that's what we do each and every week, is put our head down and work and control the things we can control.
Why do you think they are playing a little bit better over the past month? What have you seen?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, there's new guys in there that, you know, with Coach Canales being new in there, and then everybody kind of just finding the way of what they're doing. You know, we didn't start off very well here in 2021, and we got it going as the season continued to go on. And so there's probably a little bit of that. There's probably, you know, I think the quarterback's doing a nice job. He's a good player. He's drafted in, where he was drafted for a reason. I think they have talented players and talented coaches. I've always, you know, been a fan of their defensive coordinator. I think he's really good. And so I think it's just, again, talented players, talented coaches, and, you know, they're meshing together as a culture and with their culture right now, and it's showing.
Nick, with you having a very physical football team, I'm trying to figure out where that was born this year. Did you change training camp in any way to make it more physical, or practices this year or anything like that?
For physicality, we can talk about it as much as we want as coaches, and we talk about it a lot, and we highlight it a lot. We practice it a lot. But it comes down to those guys going out there and being physical, and to be physical, you have to have physical guys. And so that starts in the draft process and the, you know, picking up guys in free agency. And Howie and I talk a lot about that, you know, being tough as a team, mental toughness, physical toughness, relentless effort. And so it starts by getting the right guys in here. And so I can't say enough about our guys. Do we emphasize it as coaches? Absolutely. But, you know, we have, like, you know, Landon Dickerson is physical. Lane Johnson is physical. You know, Jordan Mailata is physical. You know, Mekhi Becton's physical. Cam Jurgens is physical. And I could go through the whole D-line, too. They're physical players. They're physical players. That they're you know, Jalen Carter was physical in at Georgia, and he's still physical. And so, you know, again, we emphasize it, but we got physical dudes on this team.
How much has Milton Williams grown as a player, and how much has he taken advantage of Jalen's getting so much attention?
Milton's just a guy that, you know, when we got him here in 2021, we were really excited about him, and he's just continued to get better. You know, he's been contributing on this football team for the past 4 years, and he continues to get better, and he is taking advantage of those one-on-one opportunities that he's getting. There's a play in that game. I actually, you know, he beats the right guard, or their left guard, pardon me, so fast. He dumped it off to Derrick Henry, and he got a good gain off it. But we beat him. He beat the guy really fast. It was such a good rush. And he's been doing – those types of plays have been showing up. And, you know, you love his energy. You love his physicality of, you know, when he makes a play and how the guys respond to him. And so he's done a nice job. We can look for us to – look for him to continue to grow as a player and take advantage of opportunities that he's getting.
You mentioned watching every plus 50 punt in college and in the pros each week. What's the most obscure thing you watch every week, or like the most minute detail you watch every week?
When it comes to that?
When it comes to anything.
That's a big one that probably is, you know, is unique. You know, we watch every interception. We watch every fumble, you know. Watch you know, every fourth down decision throughout the league. I won't get too much. I watch every 4 minute, every 2 minute, and those add up. You know, those start going. I can't say anything that's more unique than that, to be quite honest with you, Zach. It's just the hey, let's learn from everything that we can. Again, I've said to our guys, you know, good teams learn from their mistakes. Great teams learn from mistakes of others and the good things of others that others do. And so that's just all you're trying to put yourself into and watch all those different things like that. I'll have to think about that a little more, see if there's anything any more crazy things that we watch.
What's the biggest thing Jalen's done to cut down his interceptions since the bye week?
I think that's, he's cut down his interceptions and he's still being explosive as a player. And that's a very tricky thing. Like, hey, we want to win the double positive. What do we talk about double positive? Again, win the explosive play battle offensively and defensively and win the turnover battle. That's not, you know, you have to take risks at times to create explosive plays. And not risk, I mean, but more so like you got to make some great throws with some great reads and all those different things. And so he's just playing really good football right now. And he continues to play really good football. I mean, there's a reason, you know, that we're winning and a big reason is Jalen Hurts. Again, I think what he's doing so well is that he's reading the defense. He's taking what they're giving him. When it's not there, he throws it away, or he creates an explosive play with his legs, and that's something that's so unique to Jalen. And again, he's just doing all the little things, all the minute, boring details that a quarterback needs to do to have his team be successful. Because again, it's when your team's successful, like your quarterback's got to be doing good things, and he really is with every, like, there's things that we don't, that aren't, you know, obvious to the eye of everybody, of the things that he's doing that's helping us win. You know, whether that's checks, whether that's throwing it away when he needs to throw it away, whether that's scrambling when he needs to scramble. We all see the highlight plays that he's made, but he's just playing really clean football and doing a great job leading this football team.
Do you expect to have
heading into the season about the pre-snap operation with Kelce gone, and Jalen's talked about, even when you're wrong, you're right, meaning that, like, he knows where the weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. How responsible do you think that is for your better numbers against the blitz?
Yeah, again, just like we've all gotten better, right? Like us as coaches, you know, Kellen's done some great things to help us out in there. Teams being unwilling to blitz you at times because they don't want, you know, there's a play early in our game against Green Bay where Jalen does a great job of, and AJ being on the same page, and they have one guy left to tackle AJ, and AJ breaks it for 40 yards or 20 yards or whatever it was. So it goes, everything plays into that. Jalen, you know, and Cam and Landon being able to set the table of where we start, and you know, Jalen having the you know, all the cards at the end to do what he needs to do, so he knows where, you know, his problem is. So he's just done awesome. Credit to everyone involved, particularly Jalen, who has the ball in his hands every single play.
What do you expect to have Dallas Goedert this weekend, and what does CJ Uzomah bring? You know, if he has to step in.
Yeah, we'll see on Dallas as the week continues on. As far as CJ goes, veteran who's just what a great teammate he is. He is, as you look back and you kind of talk to the teams that he's been on as we got him here on this team, everyone says the same thing. What a great teammate. I think you could ask his teammates, particularly in the tight end room and the offense, of what type of guy he is, and then they'll say the same thing: great teammate, glue guy, and has done some nice things on special teams, and has taken advantage of some of the opportunities that he's had. He had a really good play in 4 minute the other day that he came through and led through on a block on a really good player, and was able to get movement there. But yeah, he just brings veteran reliability. And again, bringing guys together on the football team, and then you know, he's had some, you know, big production where we know if we need to, if we can throw him the ball, he can do something with it and make plays. And then what he does as a blocker.
You said for years that you know, Lane Johnson's not only the best right tackle in the league, but the best tackle. What about your other guy? How do you think he's playing this year?
Yeah, he's really, really good. I love Jordan Mailata, and hopefully you guys know how much I love this football team, because I feel like everybody you ask me about, I'm like, oh man, is not only is he a great player, he's a great teammate. And man, there's a reason Jordan Mailata is a captain of this football team. That's what his teammates think of him, to vote him a captain. And he is a man, is he somebody that's just always willing to help other people. I think that's what's so, you know, cool about Jordan, is that he's constantly trying to help other people get better. Who knows, maybe there's coaching in his future. But he's playing really good football, and yeah, he's powerful, you know, in the run game. Him and Landon are able to work double teams together. When he has to, you know, when they don't, he's able to move guys in the run game, whether it's inside zone or outside zone, blocking down, blocking out. And then, you know, very reliable in the pass game. Such a big body to have to get around. He's a huge dude. I think one thing that the type of shape he's in, I don't think gets talked about enough. Like, he's a big man that – he's a huge man, right, that could weigh a ton. But he has worked so hard at his body. He works so hard at being in good shape, so he can be there for his teammates. And I can't say enough about the teammate. And it really is very obvious of how much he wants to help his teammates, everybody involved, from the scout team players to the defensive guys to the, you know, to his own, you know, to his backup with Fred, how much he helped in during that. You know, when Fred played good during his stretch, you know, that credit needs to go to Fred, but Jordan helped him with that as well. But just can't say enough good things about him, and he's playing really good football right now.
What did you like last about one? The fullback / lead blocker position in this offense?
I think what it's done is just give another layer for the defensive to have to pay attention to, and, you know, not to get into too much of this. I'm not going to get into the scheme of it, of why it's been helpful for us, but it does, you know, the one thing that, you know, one of the benefits is the layer that it gives the defense to have to defend and have to spend time on and have to study. And, you know, it's been pretty productive for us this year. And I think that, you know, I haven't been on a team that we've utilized a fullback in quite some time. And it's, you know, sometimes you go into it and like, hey, do we need a fullback? And you say, nah. And then you get into it and you start doing it and you're like, man, okay, this has been a good benefit for us. And you build on that, right? And so the confidence that you get because plays, you know, things are being successful, you know, you look to put a little bit more in. And that's how we are, you know, with players, that's how we are with plays, that's how we are with personnel groupings. Like, oh, this is good. Let's add a little bit more. Oh, let's add a little bit more. Let's add a little bit more. And so, we're excited about that, and we'll continue to use it as we need to.
All right, thank you.
All right, there it is, the Nick Sirianni press conference, giving a lot of praise to his offensive line, to Jalen Hurts, and not taking those Panthers lightly. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and Philip on wings in 7 delicious flavors for Popeyes. We're coming up on this side right after this. We'll get to your phone calls. Jalen Hurts, is he a driver of this team and their success, or is he along for the ride? Plus, a what-if Wednesday. We're going to get to an MLB rule proposal that Ron Manfred threw out. It's a wild one, and how it may have come into play in a critical moment in recent Phillies history. A little what-if Wednesday. Next, your calls as well. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Thanksgiving might be over, but the season of gatherings isn't done yet. Make your next holiday meal unforgettable with Hatfield. That's right, I said it. Say it with me.
football. I mean, there's a reason, you know, that we're winning, and a big reason is Jalen Hurts. Again, I think what he's doing so well is that he's reading the defense, he's taking what they're giving him. When it's not there, he throws it away, or he creates an explosive play with his legs, and that's something that's so unique to Jalen.
Some credit to the quarterback.
Unquantifiable. Intangible, but he quantified him on that one.
He quantified him.
I just like using that word.
No, it's your favorite.
That's
going
to be my go-to.
Maybe they are quantifiable.
Yeah. Maybe like we're going to quantify him over the course of the show. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio, 215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts, is he driving this thing or is he along for the ride? I think he's along for the ride. It doesn't have to be a big deal where we all get upset about it. It's just the reality of it. He's along.
We're going to get upset about it.
Well, everyone is.
That's what we
you
do.
You know around here?
You know, I actually thought.
Are you going to have this like adults? Are you kidding me?
I expected more today. That's on me. I'll take the blame for that one. But yeah. I thought by comparing Jalen to other passengers along the time, like in different years, that people would accept it. Like, I compared him to Russell Wilson. He was a passenger in 2013. They won the Super Bowl. John Elway, passenger in 1998.
Nah, the John Elway one. You need to stop with
he
that.
He was a passenger.
Okay.
That was Terrell Davis's team. I'm sorry.
Like, if Jalen ends his career and we look back on him as like a Russell Wilson, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
It's the semantics.
Well, but what if he... I mean, even better, honestly.
But that's a you problem, the semantics.
Yeah.
Well,
right,
you know,
you got to let that one go.
To be honest, I feel like a lot of times these not saying you guys, because never you guys would never do this, but a lot of times these conversations are had and these trigger words are used like you know, game manager to justify certain, you know, conversations that people want to win when they had debates or whatnot.
Well, you know who the ultimate game manager was?
Tregman.
3 Super Bowls.
No, I mean,
this is totally okay, guys.
But
totally okay.
But that was in an era where that wasn't used or kicked around as much as it is now.
Well, that's fine.
And it's
that's the semantics
for a lot of people. That's what I'm saying, and that's why I don't get upset when I hear it because I understand it. But for a lot of people, and again, no disrespect to anybody, but a lot of people that don't understand, that's where it gets a little convoluted.
Sure, they need to start understanding.
And there's different levels.
I mean, but
there's different levels.
I'm asking a lot for people to just understand.
You're asking a lot. And like I said, I know you guys, and I've been working with you guys. I know you well enough to know that is not where you're coming from.
And I also think there's different levels to game manager, right? And at some point, I said this last week when we talked about the shootout, and the game didn't turn into a shootout last week, and the Eagles' defense was great again. At some point, if you have more of a game manager quarterback, they're going to have to make a throw to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. And early in his career, Tom Brady was more of a game manager. He evolved past that. But the thing that made Brady so great, even when he was a game manager, is he could deliver the drives when he needed to, right? Late in the game, he set up Vinatieri for game-winning field goals, and boom, he won championships. One in recent memory, Jimmy Garoppolo was a game manager for the 49ers. They got to the Super Bowl. He couldn't make the throw when they needed it. He missed the throw. They could have won that game against Mahomes. He missed the throw late that he should have hit down the middle of the field, and they lost. So, like, we'll find out which bucket Jalen ends up in when his career's over or the season's over, but I'm fine with it. I'm just willing to accept what we have here. We have a guy that's a passenger on this ride. That's all. 215-592-9494. Hugh thinks he's driving.
Driver.
He's the first person in history to drive from the back seat. It's pretty amazing that he's been able to... Backseat driver.
He pulled off something that nobody was able to do ever.
He's got a steering wheel back there. Let's go to the phone lines here. Violet is in Virginia. Hey, Violet.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Good,
how you
Violet.
Doing?
What's got?
Well, I know, Hugh, don't get mad at me.
I could never get mad at you, Violet.
But I understand exactly everything that you said. I really do. And I really, really appreciate everything that you said. And I just feel like he's almost driving, but not quite there. Not quite there. Almost. The things, and I know, I mean, I can't imagine. I know that everything must happen so quickly. The only thing that still annoys me is I think sometimes he still holds on to the ball just a little too long. Just throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. But he's so close to driving. He's like crawling over. All over there.
So his dad, he has his foot on the gas, but dad has got he got the steering wheel.
Yeah, he has his permit. He's
on his dad's lap.
Yeah.
He's sitting
permit.
On dad's lap.
OG Wade's dad. OG Wade's lap.
No.
That visual.
Anyway, I got to go to work. Thanks so much for you, all you guys do. I love listening to y'all, especially having to be down here in Virginia, but that's okay.
Thank you
got it, Violet. Violet, we appreciate you being part of the show. See, Violet gets it. She sees what's happening here.
Almost driving is crazy, though.
Almost driving.
Me and Kyle were trying to figure
out his learner's
what
permit.
What is almost driving look like?
He's on a lap. He's got the wheel, but we all know who's actually steering it.
Is that right, Dan?
Can I give you an analogy? Because we're doing the almost driving thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we were, I think someone said earlier, there's like three drivers on this trip. You know, we'll take turns, right? Like in a long trip, you take turns driving. Hugh, if you were driving with other people, right?
Nobody else driving.
Well, just follow along.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'll play along.
Play along. You're driving other people. Like, there's three drivers, and you guys are taking turns. Would you, if, and then you know there's a part of the drive that, I don't know, maybe has more traffic. It's a little bit more challenging to do this part of the drive. Do you want the best driver in that stretch? Am I right on that? Would you agree?
I would think so.
Okay. If I were to ask everyone right now, whose hands do you want the ball in late in the game? Are they going to say Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley?
See, I don't think that's fair.
Why?
Because Jalen touches the ball every time.
No, but you have the option to hand it off. Hand off or throw?
I think
hand
that, off or throw. I mean, that, come on, man.
You know the answer.
Because he's a home run hitter.
He's the home run hitter. But the passing game should be more of a home run hitter than the run game.
Well, there are certain unique running backs, man, that – when they play this game, they're just, you know, if they get a chance to touch the rock, they got a chance to do something special. Fred Taylor, for that year that I was in Jacksonville, even though we didn't have a great record, he was that guy.
Sure.
That means
he was the driver.
But Byron Leftwich still had to throw the ball. Even though it was his rookie year, he still, you know, had to do his part. I hear what you're saying, Joe, and I get that. But this engine don't go if Jalen Hurts ain't the conductor, though. Mm. That's a fact. That's a fact. I know it's hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Not the last.
But that's a fact. Jalen Hurts not on the squad, man. It's a different squad.
Well, of course. He's a starting.
Yeah, they might have a better passing.
That's a different squad.
He's a starting quarterback, right? So there's a level to that, right? If they didn't have him, who would they have? We did do that exercise earlier if you want to go back in the Odyssey app. All right, before we go any further, it is a Wednesday here. Why don't we call this a little What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, I'm very curious where people come down on this because, you know, my first instinct was to dismiss an idea like this as like, yeah, come on. But Major League Baseball,
as a baseball purist.
Yeah, well, baseball in recent years has broken from their tradition and their mold, right? They have done things that 20 years ago you would have said, no way,
and
now
a lot
they
of
do
people
them.
Went kicking and screaming.
Right,
when
you know,
they did.
In terms of, I mean, clearly the pitch clock was a major change.
Major deal.
DH in both leagues, major change. So baseball has shown an openness to change significantly. Well, this might be the biggest change ever. Hugh, Rob Manfred, and I think it's very notable, I'll put it that way, that Rob Manfred was the one that floated this. Baseball's commissioner, not just some like guy. The commissioner of baseball on a podcast recently floated the idea of the golden at-bat. Hugh, this would mean, and there's different theories on how this would work, and maybe they'd work through the idea, but just put it simply. The golden at-bat rule would allow each team one chance per game to swap in its best hitter for an at-bat, even if it's not his turn. So just let's create a scenario here. Let's go back. Well, what if,
right? Let's go to the Arizona game.
How about Game 7, 2023 NLCS? Johan Rojas up. I believe the bases were loaded, right? It was the fifth inning.
Yeah, the bat was on his shoulder.
Poor Johan, man.
Hugh, what if in that moment the Phillies had the option of not a pinch hitter, because then you're just going through your bench, but of saying, hey, Bryce, you're up now. Hugh,
I like it.
What do you think of the idea?
As a baseball layman, because I know there's a lot of baseball purists that when this idea was floated, they poo-pooed it because we were sitting in a meeting talking about it. You weren't happy. And I know Rod wasn't happy. But as a layman, think about that, people. In basketball games, say if it's a tie game, LeBron James playing against Gold State, whatever. Who do you want taking the last shot?
LeBron, of course.
Or Steph.
Right, of course. The best player.
Or Steph. You want them because that's – those are defining moments. Those are moments that we remember and love as fans. In baseball, the unfortunate thing about it, you're at the mercy of whoever's up next. And a lot of times we've seen it, you know, pitchers pitch around guys to get to certain guys because they know they probably not going to shine in this moment. And now to put this in perspective, to have your best guy out there, Say if it was Schwarber, and Schwarber already has on the day three home runs. He's hit three.
He's on a heater.
And you put him in there. That changes everything because now there's no workaround. You got your best guy on the mound against a guy who he's been working like a shift all day. I like it. I like it a lot, man. It's exciting. I think it's exciting.
My first instinct was to hate it. That was my first thing. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing. But, Hugh, I've thought about this a lot. Like, I've spent a lot of time the last 2 days thinking through this. I've workshopped this. I am open to it, but I need some sort of, like, parameters here, right? Like, I don't think it should be open to, like, any time of the game. It seems a little too gimmicky for the second or third inning. Maybe seventh, eighth, or ninth, maybe late in the game. And maybe there's a parameter where you have to be in a certain situation, like if you're down a run or two. I don't know. I think
and how many times do you get to do it?
Once. Just once
again. Just one time.
The thing I do like about it is it does bring a lot of strategy into the game. I think it brings the manager back in. Because we've taken a lot of strategy out of manager's hands. There's no more double switches. You got the DH. You know, pitch counts dictate pitching changes. The manager really just sits there. I mean, like this would bring the manager back into the game, which I think is fun. As a talk show host, it gives us something to talk about and debate. Like, is that the right decision? I think it's a fun idea from that perspective. So I have opened my mind to this. I am not. I first read it and I was like, whoa, this is ridiculous. And then I was thinking more about it and I'm more open to the idea of this being a thing. And as you might laugh at this, I don't know. Manfred has been very liberal with changing baseball. I mean, like, he has been the most. Maybe no commissioner ever has done more in terms of changing the game, like, drastically.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if he pushes for this. This could drive. And, you know, the thing is, he would create those moments, right? You said moments. Every game that's close, you would create a moment because you'd always give Bryce Harper the extra at-bat.
Yeah, or Kyle Schwarber.
Right, whoever, you know.
Or who's in that situation. I look at it like this, man. Like, I think about the moments. Probably wouldn't be used a whole lot initially, but in playoff games, definitely. Division rivals where seeding is at stake. Mm-hmm. I can see it being done. I don't think this is gonna change the game that much where it's going to be getting used every week or something like that. I think it'll be more so in pivotal games where a win is needed and the situation presents itself. That's where I think it'll be probably more prevalent.
I also think it'd be really fun. Like, it's one thing if it's Rojas. We'd all put Rojas on the bench. I think all of us would. For Bryce Harper in a big spot, right? But what if Trey Turner's scuffling and you could put Bryce up over Trey? I mean, you'd say.
You mean the stars. But like, say if it's another star and he's
right.
I wouldn't care. Like, but you're talking about ego management.
Ego management. The manager's got to go to the podium after the game and say, why did you sit Trey in that bat? You don't trust him anymore. There's a lot there. I'm more into it than I was 2 days ago. Kyle, your first thought on this being a possibility?
I agree. I like the idea of putting more on a manager's plate, like making them matter more. I guess my question off of that, like the scenario you brought up with Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, do teams then look more for what's a better manager to have in that situation? A guy like Topper who's good at managing egos, a player guy, or a manager who's like, I don't give a bleep what you think. I'm going to do what's best for the team. And Trey can suck it up. I'm putting my best player in the spot that I need him the most. Or do you want a guy who's going to sit down and be major league buddies with Trey and tell him that everything's going to be okay?
I think Topper would do that. I think he would do what's right for the team in that situation. Because think about it like this, Kyle. You're hamstrung by the rules at that point. And I think if Topper is trying to win games, he's going to do, first and foremost, what's best for the baseball team.
Well, Mike, just quick question. Does he care more about winning that game in the moment? And you know Topper's more of a long approach guy, right? What's better for the team in the long term? Trey's mental being good or winning that game in the very moment?
I think it's fun.
It's fun.
Last thing on this. I also think it makes the great hitter more valuable.
Yeah.
Because I know you said it probably wouldn't happen every game, and I agree. But like Juan Soto, right? Like a team could guarantee if you're allowed to do this every game, Juan Soto like 162 extra at bats every year. You know, whoever your best player is, you just put him up extra times, makes that guy even more valuable. Obviously, Bryce, you know, if you want to use the Philly example, 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the golden at bat rule? At first, I hated it. The more I think about it, the layer of strategy makes it interesting. Your take on that? Of course, the Eagles here, Jalen Hurts. Is he driving this thing or is he along for the ride? We'll talk to Ellie about it all next. Your phone calls as well in the final hour. 215-592-9494. And listen for this sounder. We're going to find out what's in Hugh's holiday stocking. Your chance to win a great prize when you hear this in the 1 o'clock hour.
It's Hugh's holiday stocking.
First of all, you look like a big old candy cane.
listening. Next time you hear that, it is your cue to call 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Some credit to the quarterback.
Unquantifiable. Intangible, but he quantified him on that one.
He quantified him.
I just like using that word.
No, it's your favorite.
That's
going to
be my go-to.
Maybe they are quantifiable.
Yeah. Maybe like we're going to quantify him over the course of the show. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giulio, 215-592-9494. Jalen Hurts, is he driving this thing or is he along for the ride? I think he's along for the ride. It doesn't have to be a big deal where we all get upset about it. It's just the reality of it. He's along.
We're going to get upset about it.
Well, everyone is.
That's what we
you
do.
You know around here?
I actually thought.
Are you going to handle this like adults? Are you kidding me?
I expected more today. That's on me. I'll take the blame for that one. But yeah. I thought by comparing Jalen to other passengers along the time, like in different years, that people would accept it. Like I compared him to Russell Wilson. He was a passenger in 2013. They won the Super Bowl. John Elway, passenger in 1998.
The John Elway one. You need to stop with
that.
He
was a passenger.
Okay.
That was Terrell Davis's team. I'm sorry.
Like if Jalen ends his career and we look back on him as like a Russell Wilson, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
It's the semantics.
Even better, honestly.
But that's problem, the semantics.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
You
got to let that one go.
To be honest, I feel like a lot of times these, not saying you guys, because never you guys would never do this, but a lot of times these conversations are had and these trigger words are used like you know, game manager. To justify certain, you know, conversations that people want to win when they had debates or whatnot.
Well, you know who the ultimate game manager was?
Tregman.
3 Super Bowls.
No, I mean,
this is totally okay, guys.
But
totally okay.
But that was in an era where that wasn't used or kicked around as much as it is now.
Well, that's fine.
And it's
that's the semantics
for a lot of people. That's what I'm saying, and that's why I don't get upset when I hear it because I understand it, but for a lot of people, and again, no disrespect to anybody, but a lot of people that don't understand, that's where it gets a little convoluted.
Sure, they need to start understanding.
And there's different levels.
I mean, but
it's different levels.
I'm asking a lot for people to just understand.
You're asking a lot. And like I said, I know you guys and I've been working with you guys. I know you well enough to know that is not where you're coming from.
And I also think there's different levels to game manager, right? And at some point, I said this last week when we talked about the shootout, and the game didn't turn into a shootout last week, and the Eagles' defense was great again. At some point, if you have more of a game manager quarterback, they're going to have to make a throw to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. And early in his career, Tom Brady was more of a game manager. He evolved past that. But the thing that made Brady so great, even when he was a game manager, is he could deliver the drives when he needed to, right? Late in the game, he set up Vinatieri for game-winning field goals, and boom, he won championships. One in recent memory, Jimmy Garoppolo was a game manager for the 49ers. They got to the Super Bowl. He couldn't make the throw when they needed. He missed the throw. They could have won that game against Mahomes. He missed the throw late that he should have hit down the middle of the field, and they lost. So, like, we'll find out which bucket Jalen ends up in when his career's over or the season's over, but I'm fine with it. I'm just willing to accept what we have here. We have a guy that's a passenger on this ride. That's all. 215-592-9494. Hugh thinks he's driving.
Driver.
He's the first person in history to drive from the back seat. It's pretty amazing that he's been able to.
Backseat driver. He pulled off something that nobody was able to do ever.
He's got a steering wheel back there. Let's go to the phone lines here. Violet is in Virginia. Hey, Violet.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet.
Good, Violet. What's got?
Well, I know, Hugh, don't get mad at me.
I could never get mad at you, Violet.
But I understand exactly everything that you said. I really do. And I really, really appreciate everything that you said. And I just feel like he's almost driving, but not quite there. Not quite there. Almost. The things, and I know, I mean, I can't imagine. I know that everything must happen so quickly. The only thing that still annoys me is I think sometimes he still holds on to the ball just a little too long. Just throw it away. Throw it away. Throw it away. But he's so close to driving. He's like crawling over. He's over there.
So his dad, he has his foot on the gas, but dad has got he got the steering wheel.
He has his permit.
He's
his
dad's lap.
Yeah.
Learner's sitting permit. On dad's lap.
OG Wade's dad. OG Wade's lap.
No.
That visual.
Anyway, I got to go to work. Thanks so much for you all you guys do. I love listening to y'all, especially having to be down here in Virginia, but that's okay.
Thank you
got it, Violet. Violet, we appreciate you being part of the show. See, Violet gets it. He sees what's happening here.
Almost driving is crazy, though.
Almost driving.
Me and Kyle were trying to figure
out.
He has
his learner's permit.
What is almost driving look like?
He's on a lap. He's got the wheel, but we all know who's actually steering it.
Is that right, Dan?
Can I give you an analogy because we're doing the almost driving thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know how we were, I think someone said earlier, there's like three drivers on this trip, and they all will take turns, right? Like in a long trip, you take turns driving. Hugh, if you were driving with other people, right?
Nobody else driving.
Well, just follow along.
Okay, fine. Okay, I'll play along.
Play along. You're driving other people. Like, there's three drivers, and you guys are taking turns. Would you, if, and then you know there's a part of the drive that, I don't know, maybe has more traffic. It's a little bit more challenging to do this part of the drive. Do you want the best driver in that stretch? Am I right on that? Would you agree?
I would think so.
Okay. If I were to ask everyone right now, whose hands do you want the ball in late in the game? Are they going to say Jalen Hurts or Saquon Barkley?
See, I don't think that's fair.
Why?
Because Jalen touches the ball every time.
No, but you have the option to hand it off. Hand off or throw?
I think
hand
that, off or throw. I mean, that, come on, man.
You know
I mean,
the answer.
Because he's a home run hitter.
Yeah.
He's a home run hitter.
But the passing game should be more of a home run hitter than the run game.
Well, there are certain unique running backs, man, that when they play this game, they're just, you know, if they get a chance to touch the rock, they got a chance to do something special. Fred Taylor, for that year that I was in Jacksonville, even though we didn't have a great record, he was that guy.
Sure.
He was that guy.
He was the driver.
But Byron Leftwich still had to throw the ball. Even though it was his rookie year, he still, you know, had to do his part. I hear what you're saying, Joe, and I get that. But this engine don't go if Jalen Hurts ain't the conductor, though. That's a fact. That's a fact. I know it's hard for us to wrap our minds around.
Not the last.
But that's a fact. Jalen Hurts not on the squad, man. It's a different squad.
Well, of course. He's a starting.
Yeah, they might have a better passing.
That's a different squad.
He's a starting quarterback, right? So there's a level to that, right? If they didn't have him, who would they have? We did do that exercise earlier if you want to go back in the Odyssey app. All right, before we go any further, it is a Wednesday here. Why don't we call this a little What If Wednesday, sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings and seven delicious flavors from Popeyes.
It's time for What If Wednesday.
All right, I'm very curious where people come down on this because, you know, my first instinct was to dismiss an idea like this as like, yeah, come on. But Major League Baseball,
as a baseball purist.
Yeah, and baseball in recent years has broken from their tradition and their mold, right? They have done things that 20 years ago you would have said no way,
and now they do.
People
went kicking and screaming.
Right,
when
you know,
they did.
In terms of, I mean, clearly the pitch clock was a major change.
Major deal.
DH in both leagues, major change. So baseball has shown an openness to change significantly. Well, this might be the biggest change ever. Hugh, Rob Manfred, and I think it's very notable, I'll put it that way, that Rob Manfred was the one that floated this. Baseball's commissioner, not just some like guy. The commissioner of baseball on a podcast recently floated the idea of the golden at-bat. Hugh, this would mean, and there's different theories on how this would work, and maybe they work through the idea, but just put it simply. The golden at-bat rule would allow each team one chance per game to swap in its best hitter for an at-bat, even if it's not his turn. So just let's create a scenario here. Let's go back. Well, what if,
let's
right?
go to the Arizona game.
How about Game 7, 2023 NLCS? Johan Rojas up. I believe the bases were loaded, right? It was the fifth inning.
Was on his shoulder.
Poor Johan, man.
Hugh, what if in that moment the Phillies had the option of not a pinch hitter, because then you're just going through your bench, but of saying, hey, Bryce, you're up now. Hugh,
I like it.
What do you think of the idea?
As a baseball layman, because I know there's a lot of baseball purists that when this idea was floated, they poo-pooed it because we were sitting in a meeting talking about it. You weren't happy. And I know Rod wasn't happy. But as a layman, think about that, people. In basketball games, say if it's a tie game, LeBron James playing against Gold State, whatever. Who do you want taking the last shot?
LeBron, of course.
Or Steph.
Right, of course. The best player.
Or Steph. You want them because that's – those are defining moments. Those are moments that we remember and love as fans. In baseball, the unfortunate thing about it, you're at the mercy of whoever's up next. And a lot of times we've seen it, you know, pitchers pitch around guys to get to certain guys because they know they probably not going to shine in this moment. And now to put this in perspective, to have your best guy out there, say if it was Schwarber, and Schwarber already has on the day three home runs. He's hit three.
He's on a heater.
And you put him in there. That changes everything because now There's no workaround. You got your best guy on the mound against a guy who he's been working like a shift all day. I like it. I like it a lot, man. It's exciting. I think it's exciting.
My first instinct was to hate it. That was my first thing. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing. But, Hugh, I've thought about this a lot. Like, I've spent a lot of time the last 2 days thinking through this.
I've workshopped this.
I am open to it, but I need some sort of, like, parameters here, right? Like, I don't think it should be open to, like, any time of the game. It seems a little too gimmicky for the second or third inning. Maybe seventh, eighth, or ninth, maybe late in the game. And maybe there's a parameter where you have to be in a certain situation, like if you're down a run or two. I don't know.
How many times do you get to do it?
Once a game.
Just one time.
The thing I do like about it is it does bring a lot of strategy into the game. I think it brings the manager back in. Because we've taken a lot of strategy out of manager's hands. There's no more double switches. You got the DH. You know, pitch counts dictate pitching changes. The manager really just sits there. I mean, like this would bring the manager back into the game, which I think is fun. As a talk show host, it gives us something to talk about and debate. Like, is that the right decision? I think it's a fun idea from that perspective. So I have opened my mind to this. I first read it and I was like, whoa, this is ridiculous. And then I was thinking more about it and I'm more open to the idea of this being a thing. And as you might laugh at this, I don't know, Manfred has been very liberal with changing baseball. I mean, like, he has been the most, maybe no commissioner ever has done more in terms of changing the game, like, drastically.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if he pushes for this. This could drive, and you know, the thing is, he would create those moments, right? You said moments. Every game that's close, you would create a moment because you'd always give Bryce Harper the extra at-bat.
Yeah, or Kyle Schwarber.
Right, whoever, you know.
Or who's in that situation. I look at it like this, man. Like, I think about the moments. Probably wouldn't be used a whole lot initially, but in playoff games, definitely. Division rivals where seeding is at stake, mm-hmm. I can see it being done. I don't think this is going to change the game that much where it's going to be getting used every week or something like that. I think it'll be more so in pivotal games where a win is needed and the situation presents itself. That's where I think it'll be probably more prevalent.
I also think it'd be really fun. Like, it's one thing if it's Rojas. We'd all put Rojas on the bench. I think all of us would. For Bryce Harper in a big spot, right? But what if Trey Turner's scuffling and you could put Bryce up over Trey? I mean, you'd say...
You mean the stars. But like, if it's another star and he's...
Right.
I wouldn't care. Like, but you're talking about ego management.
Ego management. The manager's got to go to the podium after the game and say, why did you sit Trey in that bat? You don't trust him anymore. There's a lot there. I'm more into it than I was 2 days ago. Kyle, your first thought on this being a possibility?
I agree. I like the idea of putting more on a manager's plate, like making them matter more. I guess my question off of that, like the scenario you brought up with Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, do teams then look more for what's a better manager to have in that situation? A guy like Topper who's good at managing egos, a player guy, or a manager who's like, I don't give a bleep what you think. I'm going to do what's best for the team. And Trey can suck it up. I'm putting my best player in the spot that I need him the most. Or do you want a guy who's going to sit down and be major league buddies with Trey and tell him that everything's going to be okay?
I think Topper would do that. I think he would do what's right for the team in that situation. Because think about it like this, Kyle. You're hamstrung by the rules at that point. And I think if Topper is trying to win games, he's going to do, first and foremost, what's best for the baseball team.
Well, does Mike, just quick question. Does he care more about winning that game in the moment? And you know Topper's more of a long approach guy, right? What's better for the team in the long term? Trey's mental
being good, or
winning that game in the very moment?
I think it's fun.
It's fun.
Last thing on this. I also think it makes the great hitter more valuable.
Yeah.
Because I know you said it probably wouldn't happen every game, and I agree. But like Juan Soto, right? Like a team could guarantee if you're allowed to do this every game, Juan Soto like 162 extra at bats every year. You know, whoever your best player is, you just put him up extra times, makes that guy even more valuable. Obviously, Bryce, you know, if you want to use the Philly example, 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on the golden at bat rule? At first, I hated it. The more I think about it, the layer of strategy makes it interesting. Your take on that? Of course, the Eagles here, Jalen Hurts, is he driving this thing or is he along for the ride? We'll talk to Ellie about it all next. Your phone calls as well in the final hour. 215-592-9494. And listen for this sounder. We're going to find out what's in Hugh's holiday stocking. Your chance to win a great prize when you hear this in the 1 o'clock hour.
It's Hugh's holiday stocking.
First of all, you look like a big old candy cane.
Be listening. Next time you hear that, it is your cue to call. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.